Not feeling good. If you could give them a call, they appreciate phone calls. Charles is really, really missing being here. I can tell you that. Last time I talked to him, he said he felt like he hadn't been here in forever. And so I know that they're wanting to get back, and let's keep them in our prayers, because I know that it really wears on them not being able to be here and be a part of everything. Also, the McMillans are out sick still. They was gone last Sunday, and they're out again today. So let's be sure and keep the James McMillan and his wife in your prayers to tell be back with us. That's about all I have turned in to me for sick. Coming up in the future, we've pretty well went through all the videos we've been talking about in evangelism program and getting it started and what we're doing, and I think there may be one video that we haven't watched yet. Is that right?
Half of one.
And I'm sure we'll get to it at some point. I hope within, and I may be putting Doug on the spot here, but I hope within the next week or two that we can start getting a plan together of how we're going to implement that here. We've talked about it and watched videos, and I think it's time to take action and put it into place and everybody get started. I know I'm ready to get started on it. I've been ready for a while, but I know everybody else will be too. And when he does that, it's going to take all of us. So everybody, please get behind this and find something that you can do. We don't have a sign up sheet yet for the Lord's Supper in the back, but Doug said he would make one for us and get it up there. So when that gets up there, everybody don't fight to get back there and sign up, but let's all find us a month and get to it. I did December, and I'm going to go ahead and do January, being there wasn't a sign-up sheet there. So let's all take part of that. I guess Georgia is still out of town. She hadn't come back yet. Did we know when she's coming back?
No.
No? Well, we hope she's back by the third Sunday.
Yeah.
But now we miss Georgia when she's not here. So whenever she comes back, let's just be sure and pray for safe travels for her to get back. This morning, Lee Merriweather is going to have the opening prayer. Josh Blair and David Hutchcraft on the Lord's Supper. And James Oliver will have the closing prayer. That's all I have. Right.
And Rose Beattie and Catherine Wright, and stayed with them a while, and I have the house. Thank you all very much. We're looking forward to getting back in the church.
Appreciate you doing that. I know they appreciated you coming by, and we appreciated you taking everything there. So let's be sure and keep all those in our thoughts. If you can give a phone call, I know that they'd appreciate a phone call or a visit. You know, people that can't get out and about, it gets lonely in that house when you're there by yourself. So let's be sure and keep them in our thoughts and maybe pick up the phone sometime and give them a call and visit with them.
Our first song selection this morning, the song title in our books, Walking in Sunlight. This is number 708. Walking in Sunlight, song 708.
Walking in sunlight, all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is a light, in him is no darkness, ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above. Singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
The song that we'll sing before we're led in our opening prayer this morning, "Oh, for a faith that will not shrink." This is song 462 in our hymnals. "Oh, for a faith that will not shrink," song 462. We'll sing this song, and then we'll be led in prayer.
Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe, that will not tremble on the brink of any earthly woe, that will not murmur or complain beneath the chastening rod, but in the hour of grief or pain will lean upon its God. A faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage without, that when in danger knows no fear, in darkness feels no doubt. Lord, give us such a faith as this, and then whatever it come, we'll taste in ear the hallowed bliss of an eternal home.
Let us all bow. Dear Heavenly Father, it is again we come to you, thanking you for another beautiful day that you can bless us this week. Dear Lord, we come to you and asking you for your forgiveness, Lord, and thanking you for sending your Son to die on the cross for us. We pray that everything said and done here today will be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight.
Yes.
We pray that we go our separate ways at the end of this meeting, Father, that you will bless us to come to heaven once again in love, Father, and in worship, to worship your name. Carry on with your wish. These and all many other blessings we do come to ask for your Son, Jesus' name.
Amen.
Before we commune together, we will sing the song "Nailed to the Cross." This is song 444 in our hymnals. Song 444, "Nailed to the Cross." We'll sing only verses 1 and 2 of this song, and then we'll share together the Lord's Supper.
There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. And the path to the cross he was willing to tread, all the sins of my life to forgive. They are nailed to the cross.
Oh, how much he was willing.
go to God in prayer. Almighty and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning to give thanks for the greatest sacrifice one can give, his life, for the remission of our sins, that we might have everlasting life as he died on the cross. As we partake of this unleavened bread representing that body, we ask that you bless us and bless it. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this cup, fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that Jesus shed upon the cross and on the cross of Calvary for the remission of our sins. Please bless this cup and those who partake of it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Having concluded the Lord's Supper, we now have an opportunity to give back a portion that we've been blessed with. Let's go to our Father in heaven. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We pray that as we give back that portion which is yours, that it is used in the manner that you see fit. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Our next song selection is Sweet By and By. This is song 602 in our hymnals. Sweet By and By, song 602.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed. And a spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessings of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
If you would, at this time, mark our song of encouragement. That song that we'll sing after our lesson is number 763, Why Keep Jesus Waiting? Song 763, Why Keep Jesus Waiting? That's an encouragement hymn that we'll sing after our lesson this morning. Once you have that song marked, the song that we'll sing prior to the lesson is Redeemed, song 543. Redeemed, 543.
Sweet is the song of singing today. I'm redeemed. Trouble and sorrow have vanished away. Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed. Great is my joy. Now is onward I go. I'm redeemed. All the way homeward, my praises shall flow. Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed. Precious indeed is my Savior to me. I'm redeemed. Happy in glory, someday I shall be. Glory, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign.
Good morning. You know, we like to say Happy New Year, right? I do. Don't you? Welcome each other to the new year and the new beginnings. Well, as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, we need to talk about what is new for us as Christians, that we have been made new in Jesus Christ. And as we look at this today, I think it's important that we recognize what God has done for us to make us new and to help us to be new in Him. I'm not talking about a new year. I'm not talking about, setting goals or New Year's resolutions. I'm talking about what it means to be new in Jesus Christ. You know, we talk about the new covenant. And when the Jews talked about the covenant, they weren't talking about an old covenant, because to them it wasn't old. But when Jesus talked about the new covenant, He came here to establish a new way for us to walk. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 28. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Well, Jesus, as He gave the Lord's Supper, which we partook of this morning, this is what He was doing when He first gave it to them. The bread was to represent His body, and the fruit of the vine was to represent His shed blood upon the cross. But He said, gave us something a little bit deeper there. He began to tell us that what I'm doing for you, and they didn't understand it, because they didn't understand yet that He was actually going to die for them, that He was actually going to shed His blood for them. But He's saying, this what you're taking is the blood of my new covenant. This is how you establish a new covenant, was through the blood of Jesus Christ, which is shed, why? For the remission of sins. And we know that Acts 2:38 says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness or for the remission of sins." And so when we look at that and understand that Jesus did that so we could come in contact with Him, so that we could be a part of this new covenant, so that we could share in this new way that God came to establish for us. And then Jesus said earlier than that He had a new commandment for the people. John 13, verses 34 and 35. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now we need to understand that in the Old Testament, the command to love one another was a part of the Old Testament. Very much a part of it, that the Jews were to love one another. But Jesus took it a step farther, as he often did. He says, a new commandment. Not just that you love one another, but love as I have loved you. We need to understand that Jesus loved us so much that he gave up being equal with God to come here and dwell upon this earth. That he loved us so much in that it says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That he gave up being physical with God. He gave up all that there was so that he could come here and be a part and one with us. And therefore, he says, but that wasn't all of it, was it? He came here and lived as a human being in the flesh, that he suffered, went through everything. The Bible says that he was tempted as we are in every point, every way he was tempted, and yet was without sin. So we know that he was here and he did those things. But did it stop there? No, we just talked about how he went to the cross for us, that he bore our sins upon the cross so that everybody would have the chance to have salvation and eternal life if they would believe and follow him. And so when he says to them, I want you to love as I have loved you, that's quite a new commandment, isn't it? A new standard in which Jesus set up. It was different than just, I love you. I mean, we like to hear that. I mean, I like to hear that. Your family member says, I love you. Or they send me a text and give me all those pretty little hearts that they send along with them sometimes. And I like that. But this is so much more. It's so much deeper than that. That Jesus said, I love you. And I'm going to show you how I love you. So we are to learn to love, not just in word or deed, but as Jesus loved us. He also continues this thought in 2 John chapter, well, it's just one chapter, verses 5 and 6. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote you a new commandment to you, but that which you have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in. Well, John is saying that I don't have to give you a new commandment because you already have it, right? You already have this new commandment that I have given to you. And so, but he goes on and explains it deeper. What does it mean that we love one another? It means this, verse 6. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so a part of our love for God and our way of showing that we love God is that we keep the commandments that God has given us to follow him. And that we have heard from the beginning. That you should walk in it. Not just hear it, but that you should do it. So a part of our relationship with God, as we come to him, as we accept and become a part of his new covenant, as we participate in his new commandment to love, is that we walk in it. It's not just a matter of saying, I love you, but it's a matter of doing. It's a matter of showing. It's a matter of being love to one another. But he goes on and tells us also that we are a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Everything changes when we become a child of God. Everything. The way that we live, the way that we act, the way that we treat people, the way that we worship God, everything comes into effect because of what he has done for us, because he's made us new. Now think about it, a new creation. In 6 days, God created the whole world, didn't he? The whole universe. Did you ever think about, God, why did you put so many stars out there? So many universes, I guess, or galaxies. I don't know which comes first, the galaxy or the universe. I think galaxy and then universe is bigger. But he did all that for us. But now he has done something more marvelous, more wonderful than he's ever done before with Jesus Christ. He has taken you and I and made us new. made us new creation, that he has taken the old out of our lives, the old way out of our souls, and given us a new way to live. New freedom from sin, new freedom to walk in him and to live in him and to follow how God really wants us to live. He's given us this new creation that we would be a part of him. And he says, behold, all things have become new. It changes everything. Now, I understand when we think about ourselves today that we all can see that we have ailments, right? I think we know that. We have things that aren't perfect about us. Yesterday, until about 4 o'clock, I fought a headache all day. But then it left it and went away. But I know some have back pain, some have different things that are troubling us. Sometimes we have other things that are struggling with. Maybe it's finances or other things that might happen to our lives. But he's not talking about that. Because all of that comes into perspective when we've been made new in Christ. Because you see, our focus is not about me. It's not about what I am physically. It's what I am spiritually with Christ. I read a passage and reminded me, and I read it several times before, but it says that there is some good in physical activity, exercise. But spiritual activity, that's what's really important. And the older I get, the more I relate to that. You know, I guess I could run if I had to. But I don't like to run. I walk, but I don't like to run. You know, and there's other things. My daughter, who's a physical trainer, was telling me that I should do different exercises and so on. And I've been trying. But the thing that's most important, people, because we have been made new in Christ, is that we do the things spiritually that make us stronger so that we can be ready for him when he comes again or for when we don't live in this life anymore and we go to meet him in eternity. I want to be ready, don't you? Yes. That we have been made a new creation so that we can be new in him forever. A part of that is he calls that we have been called to be a new man, or ladies, excuse me, new people, okay? New people. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 24. But you have not learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We have to put off, and we're going to talk about this more in just a little bit, but we have to put off the old to be able to take on the new. We have to get rid of the old self. The old self, what's he talking about? The old self of sin, the way we thought about things, the way that we did things before we came to Jesus. He says, put those off. They hold no value to you. Matter of fact, they take you down and draw you away from God. You need to get rid of those old things. He says in the middle of this verse, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. He says those things deceive us. The world deceives us. And we have to be careful that we're not deceived and pulled into the world and be renewed by the spirit of our mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God. How did God want you and me to be? How did he create you and me? Did he create us to be in the world and follow those old lusts and the old way? No. He came so that we could be created new in him. So we could become that new person. So that we could have a new way to be in him. Not in sin, but in him. And as it says at the last part of the verse, according to God in true righteousness and holiness. There's a lot of ways the world might call righteousness. Righteousness literally means to be made right with God. And holiness means to be made holy or to be like God in holiness. Peter says to become holy as God is holy. And so this is what God wants for us, to become like him. And we can only become like him through Jesus Christ. See, that's how we're made new in him, is that we do it as we come to be like Christ. And to be in him, and to walk in him, and to live in him. Therefore, if we're new that way, we have a new way. Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 21. Therefore, brethren, have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. God offers all of it to us. All the things that we've been talking about, God offers to us so we can have that and be a part of that with him. He's offering to us and to everyone that's in the world. He died for everyone. But we have to have the boldness to decide, to choose, and to follow God according to his way and according to his standard. We have to have that boldness to say, yes, God, I want to be like you. I want to be holy like you. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to take that first step. To step out and say, Lord, I want to be yours. I want to walk with you. I want to live with you. I don't want it any other way. Because I know that I can't get to heaven if I walk in any other way than your way. A new and living way, he says. Just like everything else we've been talking about, God is giving us a new and living way and how to live. And when we do that, then we're going to be able to get through all of the things that hurt us, that bother us, to have the strength to continue to be with God and to walk with him. He consecrated for us. This way he's consecrated. You know what consecrated means? That he has paved the way. He has made holy this way for us. You see, sometimes we think that, well, I've got to be holy, and we need to strive for holiness. I've got to be righteous, and we need to strive for righteousness. But who makes us holy? Who makes us righteous? It's God, through Jesus Christ. Without him, we would not have any righteousness, any holiness, any chance of heaven. Because of what he's done for us, we have been made right with God. So that we can walk this new way that God makes available to us, makes possible for us that we do that. And he is our high priest that sits at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf today. Then we have a new name. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, and I will write on him my new name. Okay, and I was talking about this morning in Bible class about tattooing, and I'm not suggesting we tattoo this, but just think about God, if Jesus is going to write on us his new name, the name of my God, the name of my city, and he's going to, except it's here, our hearts, that he's writing on it. The change takes place in our mind, in our hearts. He's given us a new way. The new Jerusalem, we're told in Revelation, is the heaven. We talk about heaven, but the heaven that lays down when Jesus comes again and we're called before the judgment seat and we're called to live with him forever. This new heaven that we have, this new Jerusalem, that God is going to give to you and me when we walk and when we live with him. And he says, and I will write my name on you. What does your name say? Does it say Christian, Christ-like one? Does it say Jesus is my Savior, he is my Lord? Or does it say I've not yet given myself to him? Does your name that's written on you say, no, I don't want to follow God? Or do you want to follow him? Do you want his name on you so you can go to heaven eternally? That's what we should want above and beyond everything else. So I've got some questions for you. Are you following the new covenant, the new way of Jesus Christ? Have you decided that I'm going to walk with him, I'm going to follow his way and be in his covenant, his testament that he has is for us? Are you obeying the new commandment to love as he loved us? Are you striving to that? Or does that just kind of meet down the road a little bit, not so important? This is what we live for, people. We live to love as Jesus loved. Are you been made new in Christ? And we're going to talk about that. I've got one more scripture for you before we close this morning. But have you made new in Christ? You can be if you have not been. And if you've been wandering down the road as a Christian and not really giving your all to Him, you can give your all to Him. And you can have the new name of Christ refreshed and made new in you. Are you new? Are you the new person that Jesus wants? He did all the things we've been talking about this morning for you and me. Everything has been done for you and me so that we could be made new, a new person in Jesus. Are you following, therefore, the new way of Him? Not the way of man, not the way what people says is right, but what Jesus says, what God says through His holy word. Are you allowing Jesus to write His new name on you? Lord, print it on me. Right? Write your new name on me. I want to be yours. Do whatever you want so that I can be yours and be in you. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So how do we have newness of life? He said, what do you say? Are you baptized into Christ Jesus? You've been baptized into His death. Therefore, why? Why should we do that? It says, therefore we were baptized, verse 4, with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. You see, when we die to our old man of sin, remember what we said earlier? That we have to get rid of the old man, the old self, the old person, to be able to walk in Him. How do we do that? When we're baptized into Christ, we die to that old man so that we can be raised to walk in new life. This is what we've been talking about all morning. Having this new life, walking in this new life, living in this new life with Jesus Christ. And it all starts by our faith and obedience to Him. Have you been made new in Jesus through faith and baptism? Have you done that? It says, he that believes that is baptized shall be saved. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Have you been baptized into Him? Have you walking in Him? Have you committed your heart and soul to Him? Won't you come to Jesus today as together we stand and sing.
Waking Jesus, waiting. Wait in the cold, He will bear you gently to the fold. See Him soul and open, I am implore. Why keep Jesus waiting, waiting at the door? All we knock is softly.
We look forward to an opportunity to come back together tonight as the Lord's Church, 5 p.m. We want to keep in mind all of our members that can't be with us and encourage them, as Jamie mentioned in our announcements. Give them a call. Let them know they're important to us. Send a card. Send something to them that lets them know that they're important to us. Doug talked about getting text messages from their family. That's okay, too. Just a way to to let them know they're in your hearts, that that you haven't forgot of them, and that's what they need to hear, and an encouragement to come back to us as soon as they're physically able to do so. We've got visitors with us from different places, and you're an encouragement to us, and we're very thankful that you're here. You've encouraged us greatly. We hope we've done the same to you, and I invite you back every time you have opportunity. For our members, you're a blessing to the church when you're here. Jamie?
I forgot David's having issues this morning. We need to keep him in our prayers, too. I forgot that in the announcement.
Yeah. All right. Yes, keep Brother Morris in your prayers with the issues that he's dealing with at this hour. Is there anything further that we need to make mention to the congregation before we pray? If not, Brother Oliver.
Let us give thanks. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning that we've come here to sing songs unto you, to worship you, and again to gather as a congregation of your church and have fellowship. And we ask for guidance that everything that we do here is always pleasing unto you. And we ask that you be the ones that James and Jamie has mentioned in the announcements, the ones that are shut-ins, the ones that are sick and afflicted, the ones in nursing homes and hospitals, and if it be your will, that you would restore their much-wanted health, and it be your will that we could communicate with them and let them know that they're being missed. We pray for the families that have lost loved ones, and at this time we please ask you to comfort these individuals in their time of need. We thank you for Jesus, who gave the great sacrifice of shedding his blood and giving his life on the cross for all mankind. And at this time we please ask you to forgive our sins as we've turned away from them. Please be with the governments in our country, the government throughout the world. Please let them strive for peace. Please let them keep you in their decision-making processes. We ask that you be the ones that are traveling this holiday season. The holiday season is almost over with, but they're still traveling. Schools will be starting again, and people are going to and fro in their busy lives. And let's hope that they will look up and keep you in their lives when they go to and fro. We ask now that you go with us, always bring us back at the next appointed time, and help us, the older ones, to be an example for the younger ones, and sometimes the younger ones are examples for us older ones. Please guide us and direct us in all these things that we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.